Well, I've been asked to share a few thoughts, and it's been a comfort to me over the last couple of weeks with all the coronavirus scare, and not to make light of it at any means, but just share some things that have been an encouragement to me from the Word of God and encourage my heart to look up and see the portion that we have in Christ and rejoice in it. That being said, this being the Walla Walla Conference weekend, I think there was a conference back east that was canceled, and Kirkland Conference and ours, and some verses that came to mind was, and a thought that came to mind was just look up, and what a portion is ours. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And so I'd just like to encourage everyone to open the scriptures and seek the Lord, and he'll reveal himself to you through the Word. And the Word of God is what he uses to quicken, whether for salvation or quicken us as believers, and encourages faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So read your Bibles, and Jesus wants to get to know you better through this trial. So encourage yourself in the Lord. And then, just looking up, I also noticed in when Elijah was praying with his head between his knees 7 times, and he told the young man to go look. And the man looked up and saw a cloud, I think it was, in the shape of a hand. And there's a hand outstretched for us that wants to be a friend of ours. God could call Abraham a friend of God, and how much more in this dispensation should we as believers take our shepherd's hand, and he'll safely guide us home, whether through life or death, however he chooses. What a blessed thing to, like Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:20, I'll just read it real fast. In Philippians 1:20, he says, "Whether by life or death, that Christ might be glorified." Let's see. "The earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So I'll just keep reading this. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And I can definitely relate to that as a father of 5 children. I can definitely feel the need to stay here, but what a comfort to know that whatever the Lord allows in our life, that we can have an exercise to live and bring glory to him, whether by life or death, whatever he passes through. And again, back to the conference is being canceled, and encouraging ourselves in the Lord and looking up. There's one more verse in Luke 21, and I realize that this is the teaching of this passage is to the Jewish remnant, and we as believers don't need a sign, because the Lord has said that he's going to come in like manner as he went, and he's going to come in the clouds, I guess, in 1 Thessalonians 4. At the end of that chapter, the Lord himself shall come. What a what a thrill that should be to our hearts and is, and just encourage you guys to look up, and at any moment we could see his face. What that should thrill our hearts, and does. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the Spirit in us cries. So Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And like I was saying, I know this applies to Israel and goes on to talk about when the fig's blossoming and the fig tree, and you know that your redemption's nigh. But, and again, I want to reiterate, we as believers, it's been the hope of the church from day one that we could see his face and the Lord himself could come for us. And it's been a cheer down through the ages, but how much more for those of us right here at the end of this dispensation, or the end of this time period called the fullness of the Gentiles, that we can look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. As James says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, on the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And we do need to be patient, because no man knows the hour. And but I think the Lord Jesus delights to have our hearts' affections taken up with him, and the thought of seeing him and being with him. And that maybe this very day could be the day when we see our Savior for the first time. What a hope, what a helmet we have, you know. If we turn to somewhere else in the Bible, Ephesians 6, and looked at the armor of God, and Thessalonians telling us in 1 Thessalonians to wake out of sleep and put on the armor of God. But the helmet is the hope of salvation, and doesn't matter if we're drawing our last breath, what a comfort we have that we can have our mind in perfect peace. What a helmet we have that protects us from the doubts, and that even in the face of death we can rejoice and look up. So that being said, I'd just like to turn to some other verses that were a comfort in Song of Solomon. Chapter 2 and verse 8. "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice." And this is really the verses that I had before me that have thrilled my heart, and I trust do the same for you. And it says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Does our heart beat high? Does our heart glow at the thought of seeing our blessed Savior this very day, maybe? What a hope, what a comfort, what a wonderful prospect. And I think it means a lot to the Lord if we're in the good of that and looking for and hastening that day of God. In the young man's Bible talk that we were hosting the other day, Walla Walla, the question was asked, how can we hasten the day of God? But I don't pretend to have an answer, but if one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, and no man knows the hour but the Father only, I think the Lord delights in us rejoicing in our eternal portion, and in the portion that is ours through eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we're in the enjoyment of these things, we're in the enjoyment of seeing his face, it's as it were for God, maybe it's hastening that day, because there's his own here on earth, by the Spirit, already drinking heaven's joys and enjoying the things of God and our eternal portion in this valley of tears and in this world that's our wilderness. So just finish this. "For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle, or the, I think it's a dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. And here we have it again. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And it just thrilled my soul. It's springtime here. A couple weeks ago, we had daffodils blooming, and then it snowed, and even the flowers know how to give reverence and glory to their creator. It was something to have see some daffodils with their heads bowed coming out of the snow, and we can, like Moses of old, and fall on our faces before the Lord. And Moses saw the glory of God, and then God was speaking to him, and we can, through these times of trial, get acquainted with our Savior and be ready to have our hearts lifted up with heaven's glory and our eternal portion, and have that thrill our hearts, and to have that day spring from on high well up in our hearts, that we could see our Savior at any moment, and help us to live however long we're left here, whether life or death, to live for Him and trust Him. And just as the hymn says, sweet bonds that unite all the children of peace. What a bond we have by the Spirit of God and being members of His body. And He has so loved us. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for us. I know this maybe is to Israel, but how much more for those who He's died for. Not that He didn't die for the sins of Israel too, but we're the bride of Christ. We're going to see His face. We're going to be made in perfect glory and be that bride without spot, white in heavens. I think in Revelation it says, those garments which are the righteousness of the saints, which is, it's all His grace, it's all His work, it's all what He's wrought in each one of our lives. And in the coming day, it's going to be on display to the glory of God, and we're going to be united to our head, Christ, in heaven forever, and He's going to be satisfied, and we're going to be satisfied like never before. Why wouldn't we want to hasten that day and look up and have our hearts thrilled with heaven's joys? Well, just enjoy that it was springtime, and I've read this before, but it just really hit my soul, because here it's springtime, and some places in the world, maybe it's a little colder on eastern half of the U.S. or up north in eastern Canada. Perhaps it's not as far along as here, but we have blossoms out on the tree here this morning, and there's this cry, hey, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. And just thrilled my heart, and I know no one knows the hour, but what a wonderful thing to be ready to see your Savior, because it could happen today. Maybe turn to another verse in Genesis 24 real quick. I know I'm probably going over, Mark asked me to speak for about 10 minutes. And anyway, Genesis 24 and verse 64. This is Isaac and Rebekah, and this servant had gone out to get a wife for Isaac, and she's on her way back on the camels. And we'll just jump into the story here in verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the eventime, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And just the Lord, He's thrilled if He sees our hearts and our affections thinking of meeting Him and seeing Him for the first time. And He takes note. And then in verse 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. So here we have those eyes looking heavenward. She lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And I feel like this present distress is doing that for God's own. It's having the effect of making us lighten our earthly cares and the necessary things of making a living, and realize that at any time we could be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And what a hope is ours. What a comfort, says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So however long we're here, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3, reading that in our family reading, it says, Apostle Paul said, all things are yours, whether Apollos or Paul, life, death, things present, things to come, it's all yours. We have a portion in Christ that can never be touched by anything that happens, not even death. We're on the other side of death as believers, and yes, we sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. And so what a comfort to know we can share one another's burden and pray for one another, as we do with those that have to work out in these times. But we know the worst that can come shortens his journey and hastens his home. So she was getting off, lighting off her camel, and she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. And so the Spirit of God is wanting to make Christ more precious to us, and the thought of seeing him more precious to us today, and with both my heart and your heart. The only thing that can really satisfy us is that wellspring from on high, that wellspring that he's given us by his Spirit. And what a wonderful thing it is. And with that, maybe I've been reading in Numbers 2. Maybe we could end on this note, but in Numbers chapter 21 or 22, let's see, it's right after Moses smote the rock twice and waters came out, and God just wanted him to speak to the rock, and the law makes nothing perfect, but I don't want to get into that. And Moses couldn't take the children of the Israel into the land, had to be Joshua, whose name means Jehovah is salvation, and surely our Jesus came, and grace and truth came by him, and he's our Savior, and he's going to come himself to take us to our promised land too. And I know we can enjoy it now by faith, and enter into our blessings and the eternal portion even now by faith. But just, it was kind of in chapter 21, there was a song they sung, and you know, we're encouraged in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, and rejoice the Lord evermore. We're encouraged to sing too. And you know, we're more familiar with the Exodus 15 song after they crossed the Red Sea. But here we have in Numbers 21 a little song. In verse 17, it says, Then Israel sang this song, and it said, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. And I think the margin for spring says ascend up. And I'm sure it means the well is just going to bubble up to give his people nourishment and refreshment and water from the Word of God for us, the type is. And but it just, I just thought here it was ascending up, and I just thought what a hope we have to thrill our hearts that we could be caught up at any moment. What a wellspring on from high, wellspring on high to thrill our hearts that we could be with the Lord at any moment. And to not take any more time about includes it, but you know, it's been a comfort to read Psalms 121. And, you know, we're not promised necessarily that we're not an earthly people for the Lord. So we haven't always, we're not promised that we're not going to get sick. It says that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren as in the world. And so any one of us could get sick. And yes, the Lord can keep us. And yes, we should trust in the Lord at all times. And Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's the language of faith. And but what an encouragement to just know that we have a portion that can't be touched, and we can, maker of heaven and earth, can keep us safe and protect us if he wants to. But if not, like Paul said, whether by life or death, we can glorify him, and to have that exercise. Well, I think that's about it. So hope you all are well. And too, if someone dear to us or that we don't even know that we, as privileged gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, gets the coronavirus or gets sick or dies, let's remember what the Lord Jesus said. Do you think these are sinners more than the rest of us because they suffer these things? And he said, let's do like the daffodils and bow our head and fall down before our maker and realize that we're all nothing, and these things could touch any one of us, and not think that someone had it coming necessarily. Love thinketh no evil. So just a few thoughts, and lift up your eyes. Our redemption draweth nigh, and if the Lord leaves us here and keeps allowing us to go through some more things and perplexing times and trying times, we know that it'll be for the blessing of Christianity, because if we read our Bibles and seek him and turn off the news from turn off the news from earth, we should be wise and listen and obey the powers that be, but turn on the news from heaven. Open up your Bibles and look up. So that's a few thoughts to help you on your journey and have helped me on my journey. So keep looking up, and soon we'll see our blessed Savior's face and meet, depart no more. And let's occupy till he comes and seek to live for him with whatever time's left us. So hope you all are doing well and rejoice in your eternal portion.